Lord's got a sense of humor, I tell you. And these little ones, boy, they brighten our days. They really do. What a blessing, little Micah. Okay, folks, let's open up our hymnals tonight to hymn 84. We'll stand for our final hymn prior to the message. Great time in celebrating the Lord's table together tonight. Always a special service. We draw closer to the Lord as a result. That's what the purpose of the Lord's table. William Featherstone, incredible hymn writer, wrote the words to My Jesus, I Love Thee. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth of hymn 84. My Jesus, I love thee. Indeed.
My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the crowns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Listen. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing when thy glittering crown on my brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
Amen, amen. Please be seated, church. Good singing tonight. Great Lord's table. What a blessing to fellowship with you all in the house of God. And folks, I tell you, we don't have much time. As I spoke on this morning, the coming Antichrist from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, all of the signs are in place for his appearing in the world, which means what has to take place first? The rapture. We're about to be raptured out, church. Isn't that exciting to know that we are going to be caught up, harpizoed with the Lord in the air and meet him in the clouds? Oh, yes, that is going to be such an incredible moment when we do. Well, grab our Bibles tonight, folks. Open them up to the book of Psalms. I won't be long tonight, but Psalm 44 for our message. In the book of Psalms, chapter 44. Don't you love the Psalms? I mean, they're so comforting and encouraging. And the Psalms are all about what? Begins with a W. Worship. That's right, Miriam. Worship. The Psalms are all about worshiping the Lord our God. And David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, with his golden harp, would play and strum and sing to the Lord the Psalms. It's biblical to sing them, you know. And I've got a tape somewhere at home of instrumentals on the Psalms. It's beautiful. All scripture, KJV, the words, so there's every song there. Well, tonight, as we come to Psalm 44, beloved, I want to preach a message that I've entitled, Looking in the Rearview Mirror. looking in the rearview mirror. Look with me at Psalm 44, verse 1 we read, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantedst them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies. Thou hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Selah." I want to speak to your beloved briefly tonight on looking in the rearview mirror. Father in heaven, as we ponder these verses tonight in Psalm 44, I'm so grateful, O God, that the psalmist, the king of Israel, is pointing back to those times of divine deliverance that, Lord, you brought the children of Israel through. And he realized that it was only through God that they stood as a nation. And it was only through God that they inherited the promised land. I thank you, Lord, that nothing's changed in 3,000 years. Because today, for your believing people, it is only through God that we shall push down our enemies. It is only through God that we will come out victorious. Oh God, we thank you today for the message entitled Looking in the Rearview Mirror. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I can remember when I was 15 and a half years old. My mom taught me how to drive in the parking lot of Zaya's, not Sears. Everybody remember Zaya with a Z? Yeah. Those are all gone now. But she taught me in the parking lot of Zaya in Medford, Mass, where I grew up. When I was 15, one of the things that she would stress to me when teaching me was to keep looking in my rearview mirror. I used to think she was crazy. I'd say, "Mom, why do I need to look where I've already been?" But she said, "Just do it." Now, a few accidents later, yeah, I had a few, I thought, gee, maybe Mom was right. You need to look in your car's rearview mirror often. Why? Because you not only need to know what's in front of you, but you need to know, church, what's behind you. Amen? It's very important. I also believe that we can learn a lot about ourselves by looking into our life's rearview mirror. We can see quite easily all the mistakes that we've made along the way when we made those choices that were wrong, that at the time we thought were right, but now we know they were wrong. On the positive side, we can look at the decisions that we made that we were not quite sure of at the time if it was wrong or right. But now, as we look back in our rearview mirror, we can see clearly that they were the right decisions and choices to make at the time, looking in the rearview mirror. So, beloved, we can learn a lot about God by looking back in our lives. In fact, I believe that my view of God today has been shaped mostly by what I have learned from others and by what I have experienced personally and by his word telling me what he has done in the past, probably more than anything else. So, when the psalmist here in Psalm 44 talks about what he has learned from his fathers, notice that, I like to listen in and see what I can learn by looking with them in the rearview mirror. Let's observe and learn five specific things about looking in the rearview mirror. First, we learn by looking in the rearview mirror that God will be powerful in my life today if I can believe that what he has done in the past, he can and will do for me in the present. Amen? David did. Listen, folks. In verse 1, look at it. David says, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thine hand and plantedst them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out." David says, "Oh God, we've heard what you did for our forefathers. We've heard all about it. We heard how you drove those Canaanites out of the land of Canaan and gave us the land of Israel. We heard how you conquered their armies by your mighty angels working through David's and Joshua's armies. He says, we've heard about it, Lord, and we're confident that you'll do the same for us today. Folks, God does not change. And what he has done for his people in the past, he'll do for them today. He's immutable. They're saying, we've heard, oh God, our fathers have told us all about the great things you did for them. We heard about Abraham, how you made a promise to him to bless and multiply his seed and give him his own land. We heard about Moses, how you used him to deliver your people out of bondage, out of the land of Egypt. We heard about the Red Sea, the Jordan River, how you divided the waters and let our fathers walk on dry ground. We heard about that, O God. We heard about Joshua leading thy people to victory over all the Canaanites, how you gave them this land. We heard about it, O God, and we trust that you'll do the same for us today, because you do not change. Look at verse 2. We heard about it, O God, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thine hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. Notice in verse 2 that the children of Israel did not get the land by their own strength. God did it. God did it. Folks, listen to me today. Any victories you've experienced in your life, God did it. God did it. Amen? And brethren, how often do we read the stories of the Bible with amazement of how God worked in the past and think to ourselves, I wish God would do that for me today. Well, cheer up. He will. Church, I'm here to tell you that God is just as powerful today as he has ever been. Like he was in the days of the Old Testament. Not one ounce of his power has left him. You realize that? He's God. He's our maker. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. Now listen, if God is not powerful in my life today, the problem does not lie with God. The problem lies with me. Listen, maybe I don't trust him enough, like the people in the Old Testament did. Maybe I have issues that I must deal with to make God powerful in my life. Amen? If something is hindering God's power from working through me, I want to identify that. And that's why we have the Lord's table, to get that out of our lives, that God can show himself strong on our behalf. Oh, folks. Secondly, tonight, not only do we learn that what God has done in the past, he'll do again, but secondly, we learn by looking in the rearview mirror that there are times that I need to quit thinking that God will let me survive this day and instead think he will give me victory this day. All I have to do is take it. Amen? Look at verse 2. He says, we've heard how thou didst drive out the heathen with thine hand. Thou didst afflict the people and thou didst cast them out. Now listen, folks. When the Israelites went into battle, they did not go into the battle with the mindset that they hoped they would survive the battle. They went into the battle with the idea that they would be victorious because God was on their side. And his angelic host was with them. You realize that? Folks, let me make a statement. God's angelic host is with you wherever you go. That's why you're alive tonight. You haven't been hit by a Mack truck. You haven't died when you should have. Because God's angels keep you alive, like he did the Israelites. God is with you, and his angelic host protects you. Understand, Christian, that God's desire is to bless you, not to beat you up. God is not a mean, cruel Lord. He loves you unconditionally. He delights in showing himself strong on the behalf of his people. The Son of God said, fear not, O little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. You know how God delighted to give the children of Israel the promised land, Israel? He delights the same way for you and you and you and you and you and me to give us the kingdom of heaven. He delights to do that. Why? Because he's God. Let me ask you a question. Does your prayer life exhibit a sense of victory? Does it only exhibit a sense of survival? We need to adopt the mindset of the Apostle John. John said, and we know that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that if he hear us, we have the things we petitioned him for. Oh, that's a good verse. John was confident. John believed that God would do for him what he did for believers in time past. And he will. That's our God. But thirdly, tonight, looking in the rearview mirror, we learn that there are times that I need to show up for the battle, even if I'm going to let God do the fighting. We need to show up for the battle, right? Look at verse 3. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Now notice here in verse 3 that even if God is going to fight my battle, he is going to want me to show up on the battlefield. You know what the problem we have today in the Church of Jesus Christ, folks? Just look how the empty pews we have tonight. Why? Because we've got too many MIAs in God's army that's missing in action. They're not showing up for the battle, to the battlefield. Folks, we're in a battle for men and women and boys and girls' eternal souls with the support powers of darkness. The Israelites still had to show up to the battlefield even though God was going to ensure them the victory. Amen? You want to see souls saved? You have to knock on doors. You want to see God work powerfully through you? You have to get out there and let the Holy Spirit work through you. It's not going to happen by mistake. We, on the other hand, we want to stay at home and let God fight our battles for us. We want to stay in our bed sometimes and let God fight our battles for us. But we need to get out to the battlefield. Get involved in the spiritual conflict that is going on all around us, even if God is going to fight the battle for us. I knew a man once that would send his wife and kids to church every Sunday morning. And he'd say, yeah, Pastor, I have no problem with the wife and kids coming to your church, you know. And I'd say, what about you? Why? What's your excuse? You send your wife and kids, why don't you come? Oh, I'm not the church-going type of guy, you know. You know what he was doing? He was sending someone else to the battlefield, but he didn't want to go himself. That is unbiblical. But something else, fourthly, tonight. If we're looking in the rearview mirror, we'll learn that I can show someone I love them by showing them that I trust them. Amen? You can show someone you love them by showing them that you trust them. Look at verse 4. Thou art my... Notice how personal it gets. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. Time out. Before we continue reading, what does David have in verses 4 and 5? Begins with a T. Trust. Thank you, Esther. Trust in God. He's trusting God. Look what he's saying. Through thee we'll push him down. Through thee we'll tread him underfoot. Verse 6. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. David says, I'm going to trust in God for this victory. I'm going to trust in God for the money to provide for this bill that I have that I don't have. I'm going to trust in God for this health issue I'm going through. I'm going to trust in God with my kids. I'm going to trust in God with my boss, with my job, with my friends, with everything in my life. I trust in Him to take care of the situation that I'm not in control of. One of the ways I demonstrate that I love someone is to show them that I trust them. That makes sense. The psalmist says, I go into battle trusting in you, God, to see me through it. You parents, demonstrate to your children that you love them by trusting them. By the same token, children must show their parents that they love them by trusting their decisions. Husbands and wives, just the same. They show their love for each other by trusting one another. If you can't trust your spouse, what are you doing with that person? Why did you marry that person? You know, you've got to trust them. It's no different for a nation. America's nuclear arsenal is not what keeps her safe. Did you hear what I said? If you're trusting in the nukes that President Trump has to keep you safe, you're trusting in the wrong thing. Because, oh, look at verse 6. For I will not trust in my bow. That's my military arsenal. Neither shall my sword save me. David says, I'm not trusting in what I can do militarily. I'm trusting solely in my God. Amen? And when you're trusting in God, you don't have to worry about a thing. But one last thing we learned tonight concerning looking in the rearview mirror, we learn that we ourselves will be looked at through someone else's rearview mirror. Don't miss me in closing. We ourselves will be looked at through someone else's rearview mirror. Look at verse 7. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Selah. That means think about it in Hebrew. Beloved, hear me in closing. In the beginning of the psalm, David spoke of the fathers and their days and the time of old and how God planted them in the land of promise. But suddenly, in verse 7, David shifts gears from them to us. Look at verse 7. But thou had all verse 1 through 6, he's talking about them, the forefathers. Verse 7, but thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. Look at it. And notice the little word us in verse 7. Two times it appears in verse 7. And then in verse 8, look at the word in verse 8. In God, what's the next word? We. Not my fathers, not my mother, not my brother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We boast in God all the day long. Why? Because as he was strong for my fathers, he's strong for me. He'll be strong for my kids. David and the armies of Israel were put in the same situation as their fathers were. And they did the right thing. They learned the lessons from the past, that is, by looking in the rearview mirror. But here's my point, church. Listen, the upcoming generation is going to be looking behind them for some examples. The question is, what will they see from your life and mine? And do they see a soldier of the cross? Do they see a parent? Do they see a aunt? Do they see a uncle? And do they see a leader that went forward in Jesus' name, conquering and serving God? Or do they see? Or do they see failure? Do they see defeat? Do they see discouragement? Do they see someone throwing in the towel? Folks, listen to me. Let me make a statement. If you throw in the towel, your kids will do the same. I'm not kidding you tonight. They're going to follow your example. That's why it's so important for us to stay faithful in these last days. We've got a new generation of believers coming up, and they're looking for mom and dads that are strong in the Lord so they can follow suit. David said, we have heard, O God, what you did for our fathers. And David says in verse 7, now you're doing it for us. Woo-hoo! Now you're doing it for us. In closing, let me give you this. Donald Gray Barnhouse once told of a Baptist preacher who lived in Birmingham, Alabama. His name was James Byron. You may have heard of him. Throughout the city, Byron was known as Brother Byron, the Baptist preacher. There were many preachers stronger in pulpit oratory than him, but none preached better sermons than he did with his life. Listen, like the Lord Jesus, Brother Byron went about doing good for all he could. It was a common occurrence for him to come home on a cold winter day without his overcoat. He had given it to some poor man who had none. One spring day, he was driving his horse and buggy through the beautiful countryside when he saw a struggling farmer standing dejectedly in the field. It was time for his spring plowing, but his only horse lay dead in the field. Brother Byron unhitched his horse, gave it to the man, and then walked home. It was only fitting that when his life's biography was written, it was entitled, A Sermon in Shoes. A Sermon in Shoes. Barnhouse said, indeed, his life was a sermon in shoes, for he lived out his greatest messages. He lived out his greatest messages. Folks, looking in the rearview mirror, my message tonight, and Father, how we thank you that just like Brother Byron, that day that the farmer lost his horse, Brother Byron walked home without one. Oh God, help us to be a sermon in shoes. Help us, Lord, that when others look in their rearview mirrors in the days and years to come, if you should tarry, that they would see behind them some heroes of the faith, some believers who stood up and trusted in God for every need in their lives. Lord, help us to be just like Brother Byron. Help us to be doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving our own selves. Help us tonight, O God, to be those servants of the King, that thou mayest one day say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. That's what we're striving for. And we thank you, Lord, tonight for looking in the rearview mirror. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our hymnals at this time. For a hymn of invitation. Altar was full this morning, and it's open tonight if needed as well. Let's open up to hymn 34. Hymn 34 says it all. Hey, that's the Holy Spirit right there. We are reaching to what? Higher ground. That's right. We're reaching to higher ground by looking in the rearview mirror. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth for our time of invitation. And if you need the altar, it's open. Oh, yes, Lord. Love the words in the battle.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land. Plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these are bound, but here my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. On the last, I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till heaven I'm found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lead me. Stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, dear sister, just wanted to remind you that we have birthday cake and ice cream for you, you and you in the kitchen after we dismiss. Father, how we thank you for such a wonderful day in your house. Today, Lord, we spoke of prophecy this morning and the coming of Antichrist and all of the evil that he will perpetuate throughout the world. Lord, we're so thankful that we'll be raptured out before his revelation to the world comes. And, oh God, what a precious privilege that is for the believer to miss the wrath of the tribulation period. Thank you for that, Father. And then tonight, Lord God, celebrating your table with your people, drawing closer to thee. Lord, we're grateful for that opportunity we have to celebrate the Lord's table when occasion permits, O God, and the spiritual effect that it hath upon us. We're grateful for that. And then, Father, for the message tonight, Lord, David learned to trust you. He looked in the rearview mirror of his forefathers, seeing how you worked in their lives, and then he looked at his own life and his own generation and saw how you worked on their behalf. Help us tonight, O God, to look at what you're doing for us today. And Lord, we're living in the most exciting time period in world history because you are about to come back. Oh God, help us to be faithful in these last days. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Folks, cake and ice cream in the kitchen.